There are naval expeditions conducted, in part to collect the tribute, but also to show the Athenian flag. The most famous one is in the Black Sea, usually dated to about 436 BC. Pericles actually went on that cruise. They cemented relations with Sinope, that is now the modern town of Sinope, on the Black Sea or Euxine shore of Turkey today. They sent in some Athenian colonists, but this assured the grain shipment, traditional friendships, particularly ties with the cities of the Tauric Chersonesus, which is today the Crimea, all areas vital to Athenian economic interests and very remote from any kind of Spartan interest. Even in the one instance that the Athenians established a colony in southern Italy, a colony at Thurii, which was a replacement for the old colony of Sybaris, which was destroyed about 515 BC, where we get the word Sybarite. Sybaris was noted for its rather decadent living, and they weren't very serious. They were destroyed by their neighbors, the city of Croton. And according to one story, I think it's because the people of Croton learned how to play flutes, which caused the Sybarite horses to dance, and they defeated the Sybarite cavalry. It's a rather colorful story. Well, in any event, Thurii was refounded as a Panhellenic colony under the auspices of Athens. This was a big PR move by Pericles, and in many ways discredited some of the conservative critics of Pericles, a fellow called Thucydides, son of Milesius, a cousin of the historian and a namesake of the historian, who had tried to criticize Pericles on his treatment of the allies, his democratic reforms, and that was one of a number of popular moves that allowed Pericles to isolate Thucydides, son of Milesius, and rig his ostracism probably a year after the colony was founded and remove the one serious political critic and opponent Pericles had faced since the death of Cimon. So Athenian moves and Athenian policies in the period after the 30 Years' Peace were very, very much centered on Athenian interests within the Aegean world, were very much driven by Athenian internal considerations, democratic reform, building programs. And really, if one looks at the Athenian record up until the final crisis, there's very little in that record that any of the Peloponnesians could use as a case that Athens has violated the 30 Years' Peace. And yet, that's exactly the argument that will be made in 432 BC, that the Athenians had violated the 30 Years' Peace and had trampled on the freedom of the Greeks, and that the Spartans must declare war. Well, to understand how Athenian actions, which were so much in line with the treaty, were irrelevant in the final crisis, requires us to look at how Athens is transformed in this period, the dynamics of the Athenian democracy, Spartan perceptions of it, and then the final crisis itself in 435 through 432 BC, in which Spartan allies play a very prominent role, particularly Corinth, in pushing for the war and conjuring up images of the 450s that will lead the Spartans to make that fateful decision.